Hi, Gregory. Bill Kellis. What can I do for you?
Well, just be happy. How are you today?
Don't worry. Be happy. I like that.
You like that? That's another request. I'd like you to be a Russian for a half in the morning. How about that?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Russians, so that ought to be good.
Well, what's your heritage? Is there any Russian blood in your stream?
Scottish.
Scottish?
Yeah.
Well, so we are European.
Yes, we are European.
Well, I'd like to start with a compliment because I hear a lot of good things about you and good things you see from a people who told it with kind of a, with a good words, with a respect. So,
as they say, I'm not as good as my promoters and nor as bad as my detractors.
Okay. But you see, I'm kind of a living with God, and my favorite say is if I'll pray is my conversation to God. My intuition is God's conversation with me. So when my intuition told me you need to talk to this person and know him more, it's not bullshit.
Well, let's just say God keeps me on a short rein nowadays. We stay close.
My question is, how could I call you?
You are.
No, how would you like to be called?
Oh, Bill's fine. I was Bill? Born Bill, I'll die Bill.
Okay.
Yep.
Bill, before we'll start the conversation, I'd like to say a few words. I'm publishing a magazine and starting right now a new medical magazine which is called Balance. It's a magazine about a healthy life which will be like in 10 days appear the first issue. It's the largest magazine in the Russian community in LA, Orange County, San Diego. And in this magazine is going to be a department which will introduce the alternative medicine and kind of a great people who are known as the healers. And it's my feeling, as I said, intuition to introduce you as a this person in our first issue and tell about you and make interview. It's going to be at least a page. And maybe introduce a product somehow which I get involved, Rysotran or maybe other. So what we've been kind of agree, if it's okay, we'll do kind of a quick interview with you. And Eric will, he said that he will tape it. And we'll do it if you don't mind.
That's fine.
That's my agenda.
Just one quick thought.
Go ahead.
I always consider alternative would be like if I was taking Prozac, instead of that I take St. John's wort.
Okay.
To me, that's not really comprehensive. Comprehensive is really when you start growing in and finding out what the root cause is and help resolve it, rather than just treat the symptom. Whether you're treating the symptom with herbs or drugs, you're still just treating the symptom. The whole logic of integrative medicine or functional medicine is about to find out what is at the root cause. And in other words, remove the thorn and God will do the healing.
So you just jump in the core and of my conversation, and I appreciate it because you just made this statement right away. So you call it integrative or functional?
Yeah, integrative or functional medicine or complementary would be the three terms that more aptly describe what we do.
So the third one, it's integrative, functional, and third one?
Complementary.
Complementary.
In other words, I'm not saying medicine's bad. I'm saying medicine has its place. If I want to kill a parasite that is up in the liver, I can't get herbs to go up to the liver, so I may have to take a drug to do that. But you don't take a drug to suppress the symptom long term, because in the long run, the drug will be the problem.
Excellent, excellent. So we kind of in the same mind. I'll just tell you that my background is medical, and I was head of rehabilitation department in Kiev. And since when I came 81, since 81 till 95, I own and I started three clinics, medical clinics. And I have doctors working, MD doctors, all different specialty working with me and for me when I wasn't licensed. And then my ex-wife, she got licensed and she still continue clinics.
Right.
So kind of And beside of that, I'm doing personal coaching and healing.
Well, see, I've always felt that the models they use in Russia actually, in a lot of ways, are superior to the models they use in the United States. Although I probably like the German model the best, I would say just the fact that, for example, people using microbes to kill microbes is more effective to me than using antibiotics to kill microbes. In other words, why not have a microbe that's a natural antagonist of a microbe go and kill it? So if you have a microbe problem, take the antagonist will go help the immune system and kill the microbe rather than antibiotic, which just comes in and kills everything.
I would just applaud you and ask, since we started conversation from the middle, I'd like to ask you, Bob, if we can begin. I have a few personal questions before we will just go. I hear about your involvement in the IBM and your kind of a success story. In just a few words, what was your involvement with IBM?
I worked with IBM for 10 years, and I ended up being a regional systems marketing manager and got sick and went back to school to study this. I was pre-med physics in college.
But just a second, before you go to your conditions, my next question. You was regional salesman.
Regional systems marketing.
And you were successful.
I was the top salesman in the history of IBM for opening new accounts.
Did you make a good money?
I was their top guy on the West Coast.
Uh-huh. So then it's the disease appear. And I've been hearing and reading that it was spondylitis, yes?
Ankylosing spondylitis.
How would you explain it to the people, to our readers who doesn't familiar with diagnosis terminology?
It's like osteoporosis on young kids. So you start crippling over like people with osteoporosis.
Okay, and by that time, what year it was? 70s?
It was in the 70s. Yeah.
So your condition get worse, and I hear the doctor said that you might end up in a wheelchair?
Well, the doctor said at the rate I was deteriorating, I probably had less than 2 years before I was in a wheelchair. The disease was best known by an Olympic athlete named Marie Strempel. And Marie Strempel was a top Olympic athlete and ended up in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So by that time, your kind of inside gut says, no, I'm not agree with that.
Well, I said, you know, he has 5 minutes to make that statement and think about it, and I have 24 hours, 7 days a week. So I went and started researching everything. I went up to the medical school and started studying all the research models, the Medline, realizing that it takes 40 years for something to get from research to practice. I said, there's got to be something going on. And as I started understanding what was really going on in research, it was so different from what we're doing in practice. They actually had a bacteria called Klebsiella that was the trigger of ankylosing spondylitis.
And was it known by that time, or you?
In research, it was. But if you ever talk to the rheumatologist, all he does is give you anti-inflammatories. He hadn't got a clue.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, here's the issue. It's this is where capitalism's at its worst. We are paying people to keep the disease alive. Because if you solve arthritis, what is the rheumatologist going to do the next day?
I understand.
And if you solve arthritis, what is the Arthritis Association going to do the next day?
And what's the whole entire pharmacy department going to do who is making millions of dollars in that?
In other words, it is in nobody's interest in the way we're set up to solve disease. It is only in their interest to take the symptoms and make them less so you feel better. So what we have going on is an entire system of of Dr. Feelgood.
Now let me ask you, I know that you have your radio talk show and you're known as a speaker and author of a book. This idea which you just stress out, are you kind of repeating openly in your public statements?
Oh, sure.
Have you been attacked by AMA or somebody by that?
Well, I mean, in the beginning when we first started this, you know, we've been doing it over 20 years, they took us to court and everything. I mean, they tried to, you know, get our licenses pulled, and, you know, they grilled us and all kinds of things.
So you had kind of a legal issues, yeah? So
they're used to calling a doctor and saying, okay, you know, we're going to bring you in and grill you, and you're going to be in trouble and all that kind of stuff. And then the doctor comes in, and the doctor, they say, well, if you admit you're guilty, you know, we'll monitor you for 3 years. If you don't do it again, then we may give your license back full time. And you know, they do a lot of censures and things like that, censures type things. What ends up happening now is they took us to court and threatened to take away the license of one of our doctors for treating cancer and for doing chelation therapy. And they took it before the court. The court sat there and listened to it, and they said, and we had four lawyers. We didn't come in half plan. And we sat up there and said, who is your plaintiff? And they said, well, on the cancer case, the plaintiff was the urologist. Well, then what about the person who's being treated? Well, no, that's not our plaintiff. It's the urologist who lost the business to you guys. And we're saying, and we said, well, here's the plaintiff that you should have, which is the patient. The patient came in, gave a deposition, and the deposition was, they saved my life. The urologist said I was going to have my whole intestines cut out, and they were going to fillet a fish me and all that kind of stuff. These people put me through a program. 6 months later, all my cancer was gone. It's been gone now for 8 years. I'm working at Coldwell Banker and enjoying life. So the judge listened to this. He says, have you got any other cases against these doctors? And I said, yes, we have three chelation cases. And he said, who's the plaintiff? They said, the insurance companies that were supposed to pay for the chelation were estranged from the people who were supposed to be insured. And we said, fine. So they brought up, and we said, if the insurance companies have a case against us, did it cost them any money? They said, no, they didn't pay for the chelation. And we said, well, if they didn't pay for the chelation, what's their case? Where's their damages? What is wrong? What has been broken in the way of laws? And they said, well, here's what the people, the patients say. And we had the depositions on them, and it was one right after another about how it changed their life, saved their life. They thought they were going to be dead if they didn't go through this. And they got their life back. And so the judge looks over at the assistant attorney general on this thing and says, I know you're one of the top guys in this, but if you go after these people, you've got to understand, if this gets before a court of law, alternative medicine is here to stay. So unless you got something other than I disagree with how they did it, you better drop this thing. The next day they dropped all suits.
When did this happen?
8 years ago now, probably.
And it was since that, it was no major earthquake?
Yeah. Well, since then, I think what's happened is the public, is in the discussion now, to where there are more people making visits to alternative medicine practitioners, as you call them, than going to the regular doctors. And so now if they really want to bring the thing to a vote, they're liable to lose.
Now, let me ask you, we're kind of skipping, going to your medical practice. What kind of patients are you seeing in your clinic?
We deal mostly with chronic illness. Chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, arthritis, you know, any of the autoimmune type things, degenerative diseases. Now, that's not saying we won't deal with others, but our goal is to help those people. And we'll also deal with people who don't want to have chronic illness, you know, things that we can do to help take care of them. So in order to do that, there's, you know, if essentially the model is take away the toxins and give the people their nutrient deficiencies and balance the structures and systems by which everything's set up on, you know, whether it's whiplash, structural misalignment, or whatever, and then get rid of the microbes that got in there when they were sick. That's the model. It's basically a four-step model, and now, of course, we're getting into human genomics and some of the genetic predisposition. So that makes it a five-step of things you do. If you do that, then we haven't changed direction since we started. What we've done is we've gotten better at testing and better things to help the body to recover.
Now, talking about the testing, what kind of testing you're using in diagnosis? For example, to diagnose patients, if somebody walked to you, what diagnostic system you use?
Right, you know, the question is, give me an example. For example, if somebody has parasites, we use diagnostics.
Test. I'm talking about tests right now.
Yeah, diagnostics. There's Diagnostec, which is up in Seattle, Washington, where we use a stool test, saliva stool, and we'll test for gluten intolerance, parasites, fungus, bacteria, insufficient digestion, suppressed immune system, inflammation, colon, small intestine. We check all those things out, for example, in a comprehensive stool test.
So you wouldn't take a blood test?
We do that also.
Mm-hmm.
We do blood, we do stool. Well, you know, we'll do all the standard tests, but we're going to look at a lot tighter than most doctors. Most doctors are looking for disease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, you don't have a blood sugar problem until you have diabetes to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you have a blood sugar problem if you have hypoglycemia, considering 90% of the people who have hypoglycemia sooner or later end up with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if we can resolve it before it becomes diabetes.
Gotcha.
And the reason they don't treat it is because there isn't a drug to treat hypoglycemia. But there are nutrients, and there are lifestyle modifications. We're finding time after time type 2 diabetics going through what we tell them to do, and they're lowering their medication, or in some cases they even don't need it after a while. A type 1 still doesn't make any insulin, but a type 2 needs the synergistic things, and that's where something like rizotrine becomes a better tool. Now, the biggest problem I see with the whole alternative thing is we sit there and synthesize vitamins and use those as an alternative to drugs. Well, they're both synthesized. The body doesn't recognize either of them as part of the food chain.
Now, this you added it, and I hear that from Eric and from Hank. How is that supported by, let's say, scientific?
Well, all right, let's go scientific. Take vitamin C. Give me another name for vitamin C.
Hello?
I used to know that one.
Yeah, give me another name for vitamin C.
I wouldn't give
ascorbic
you
acid.
Ascorbic acid, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ascorbic acid is nothing more than the antioxidant portion of vitamin C, but it is not vitamin C. It's not what Linus Pauling did his test on. It's not what changes lives. Ascorbic acid is, when put in the body in high doses, acts as an antihistamine. So your symptoms can go away, but it's much like taking any of the Benadryl or any of the antihistamines. So what you really get is an antihistamine effect oftentimes. Now, take vitamin C. Vitamin C has in it bioflavonoids. It has copper in it. So if I go and I take vitamins, if I take ascorbic acid, the first thing it's going to try to do is find the copper in my body. So it starts chelating out the copper. So the good news is I had this flu. I take a lot of vitamin C. The flu symptoms go away because I stopped my histamine reaction, which was a pharmaceutical effect, not a physiological attribute. And I end up lowering all my symptoms, but at the same time, this ascorbic acid starts chelating out the copper. Well, the copper is required to kill microorganisms. In fact, if your mucus is yellow, that means you're fighting microorganisms. And when it really gets in a full-bore fight, it oxidizes. Now, what mineral do you know that when it oxidizes turns from yellow to green? Copper. So the copper lysinate, which everybody knows about lysine, people take lysine, which is independent, and ascorbic acid, they put it in there, and they chelate out their copper. And after about 2 weeks, they start losing their copper. And the good news is they didn't have symptoms through their flu. The bad news is now they've gone to chronic fatigue, because without copper, all the microbes go crazy. You can't make energy. Your thyroid doesn't work. Your adrenals don't work. You don't make hydrochloric acid. You don't digest food properly. So you start fermenting your carbohydrates and putrefying your proteins. And before you know it, your whole body breaks down, because you were taking synthetics rather than the natural things.
And basically this philosophy goes to all vitamins, yes?
It goes to vitamins in general. Yeah. For example, take B vitamins. Okay, B1 is thiamine, right?
Yes.
B2 is riboflavin, right?
Yes.
B3 is niacin. What's B4?
Go ahead.
Okay. What's B5? B5 is pantothenic acid. B6 is pyridoxine. What's B7, 8, 9, 10, and 11?
Unheard of.
Now, you know they're out there, because why would they just leave them out there? See, B12 is Santa Cabalman. So what we're doing is we're synthesizing the ones we can synthesize, and the ones we can't synthesize, we don't do. For example, vitamin E. We run out selling people that if you take tocopherol. Tocopherol is the vitamin E we can synthesize. But the vitamin E that is much more powerful, according to Dr. Koresh back in Wisconsin, is tocotrienol. But since you can't synthesize it, nobody even talks about tocotrienol. But tocotrienols are really a much more effective, much more powerful vitamin E, but you can only get it, in two sources, rice bran and palm oil. Since palm oil goes rancid really easy, rice bran's the natural thing. Or you take things like beta-carotene. Everybody runs around and says, 20 plus years ago we said beta-carotene is going to save the world from cancer because it's pro-vitamin A. And so they take beta-carotene. Their skin turns all orange, and supposedly they weren't going to get cancer. Well, now we discover 20-some years later that the beta-carotene synthesized was actually blocking all the other carotenoids, because you get a whole lot of one, you're going to block the sites where the other ones sit. And one of the carotenoids it stopped is called lutein, and by stopping lutein, we cause macular degeneration, and we have more macular degeneration than any country in the world right now.
So I can hear right now the average reader will say, okay, Dr. Kalish, so would you say that the vitamins, to take vitamins is not healthy?
I would say here's your challenge. Short term, you can take drugs. Short term, you can take vitamins. Long term, what you take to help fulfill a deficiency will cause a deficiency.
Okay, so what's the alternative?
The alternative is to take the natural nutrients the way God made them. For example, if I just take rice, or we'll take any grain, I take it, there's the carbohydrate portion, which is the majority of the portion inside. There's the fiber on the outside. And then there's the bran, which are all the nutrients required to digest the carbohydrates. Here's what we do. We process the grain. And when we process the grain, we destroy the bran, which is where all the vitamin E and antioxidants and B vitamins and all the things required to process the carbohydrates are. We take away the fiber, and all we do is sell the people the carbohydrates. Well, anybody knows anything about food knows, first of all, just to start digesting food, you have to chew. And by the time we're done with carbohydrates, you don't even have to chew. You can take them through a straw practically. Second, fiber slows up the speed in which the carbohydrates go in, so you get it slowly. Lack of fiber means you're going to get it quick. Fiber also bulks it up so as to pull out the toxins to keep the bowels working properly. And 40 million Americans have constipation and can't figure out why. They take antibiotics and kill all the bacteria, and they don't take any fiber, and they wonder why they're constipated. Well, if they're constipated, that means all their systems are going to back up with toxins, and they're going to have weight gain, which 61% of Americans are overweight. 1 out of 4 is obese. And then they have brain fog, they have depression, fatigue, and all these kind of things. So what do? Well, depression, we've got all kinds of drugs to take care of depression rather than clean the people out and do a general cleanse or detox like they do in most countries. And as far as weight gain, well, we do all kinds of things to speed up the metabolism, all that. Now, whether you're doing it herbally or you're doing it with drugs, if you take speed, it doesn't. It can say Ma Wong or it can say ephedrine. It doesn't matter whether it's a drug or an herb. It's still speed. That's why I'm saying the alternative, if you're doing the wrong thing, is still the wrong thing.
Now, what I'd like to ask you, in your clinic, do you see the patients taking responsibility mostly for their condition, for their disease?
Well, most of them come in. I would say we're about, you know, the 80-20 rule. I would say 20% come in knowing that they can take responsibility, and 80% of them come in hoping the doctor will do something that will finally fix their disease.
Okay, but during the process, because you're
exactly
a great educator and the whole condition of you in your clinic is different, that you're not treating disease, but you're dealing with human being. Is this mentality of a patient changing during the process of healing?
Absolutely. What first thing we do on almost every one of our patients is we put them through a cleanse. Now, a cleanse.
Putting through what?
A cleanse.
Okay.
And that's where we break the sugar cravings by an aloe vera solution. We we take fibers and protein and rice solubles and all that put together and give them their cone of gold and everything, and they take all that, and then we give them Paragon to kill parasites, and then we take enzymes and give them and clean out their arteries and their capillaries and their lymph and everything.
How long does this cleansing process take usually?
8 days.
8 days. Now, what about the people, let's say, in Russia, in an all alternative medicine that's very popular, let's clean your liver, let's clean your kidney, let's clean your joints and your... What's your attitude for that?
Well, my feeling is to clean one or the other is like, first start out with clean the digestive tract that feeds everything you just said.
Okay.
Second, to really clean those out, the best way to clean them out that I know of is to take enzymes and go in like Pac-Man and eat out all the things that aren't supposed to be there. You know, like immune complexes that clog up your arteries, or plaque that builds up, or fiber, fibrosis that causes most people to die, can close up your arteries, can stiffen up all your fibers and collagen and everything. The enzymes go in and start eating that stuff away and clean it all up. And so all of a sudden, the people go through a couple days where they may have flu-like symptoms or headachey, and then after about 3 days, they start feeling wonderful.
A few questions. Do you have people coming to you with migraine?
Absolutely.
And you're successful in that?
About 95%.
Excellent. How about, do you have people who are coming, let's say, with a background of alcoholism or drug dependency?
Yeah.
And what's your response on that?
Well, I think the way we approach it, we do what's called a dry out on these people, which means you get them off the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody who understands alcohol or marijuana, both of which set up a yeast or a bacterial type fermentation in the gut, will understand that I don't have to. You can break alcohol, quit taking alcohol, but if I feed you any sugar, your sugar will ferment. You'll get bloat and gas, and it'll turn into alcohol, and you'll have what's called a dry drunk. If you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, go to the back table, you'll see nothing but donuts and coffee. Well, these people are making alcohol.
So they substitute one thing by another.
That's right. You see, we're still back to this alternative approach to things, and I'm saying that. you know, the alternative to shooting you with a gun is shooting you with a bow and arrow. It doesn't matter. You're dead.
So let me ask you, kind of make a little step aside. You definitely believe in God.
Absolutely.
Now, these connections.
And by the way, that means that every part in the body is necessary. So when you take the tonsils out, don't be surprised if you go to 4 times the risk of lung asthma. When you take the gallbladder out, don't be surprised if you go to 4 times the risk of colon cancer. When you take each part of the body out, as we arrogantly call it, vestules of, you know, which means it was like used in the past and not required now, that logic is destroying the health of people, but it doesn't do it that day, so you can't tie it to murder. But if I take all your parts out, sooner or later your body's going to quit.
But you'll be a great donor for all this kidney dialysis and things like that. You'll support our hospitals.
Well, I think the highest level of man that we've got going right now is to become a donor. I mean, if you take a look at the system, the highest thing you can do is become a donor. I personally would like to use all those parts myself until I wear them out.
So coming back to certain principles, I would like to ask you, how you're using this, I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into this mental attitude. In your attitude to the disease and to the condition of a patient, would you ideally ask them to take responsibility for condition they are in?
No, I would tell them that that here's the way it's played. I'll help them to identify which toxins have to be removed and what nutrients have to be put in. Okay, that's my part. Their part is to do what I recommend, and God's part is to heal. So essentially, you have three things going on. And once you define responsibility, then every time they don't do what they're supposed to do, you say, then don't expect God to heal you.
But what about, let's say, the conditions, let's say, the mental condition, the stressed emotions, which is causing a lot of conditions and disease?
Okay, stress.
Let's say if somebody constantly stressed, and this person will end up, let's say, with a high blood pressure.
Well, let's go to stress first.
Okay.
All right. There's stresses inside and stresses outside, right?
Yep.
Okay. I can help them deal with the stresses inside. I can cleanse them. I can chelate them. I can balance out their minerals. Most of the time, I'll give you something. I'll give you a deficiency that causes more stress than what you're thinking. Potassium deficiency. Let me give you the symptoms of potassium deficiency. Anxiety, fast beating heart, shallow breathing, mid-afternoon fatigue, mind races, can't go to sleep, wakes up in the middle of the night, urinates, can't go back to sleep, pain in the kidney area, and twitching and cramping and tight muscles. Okay?
Okay.
One-third of the Americans are discovered to be low on potassium. And what do you think we do about that at the medical office?
Go ahead.
We give them antidepressants. We give them anti-anxiety drugs. We give them all kinds of things to take care of the symptoms when all they need is potassium. I mean, if I'm going to give somebody a calcium channel blocker, for example, I'm giving them a calcium channel blocker so you block calcium. You know what else goes through that channel?
What?
Magnesium. But since you can't sell magnesium as a drug, they don't sell magnesium, they sell calcium channel blockers. I mean, if you're low on serotonin, the drug approach is to inhibit the uptake of serotonin. The nutrient approach is to take more tryptophan or 5-HTP or something that would increase serotonin. Which one do you think is safer?
If that's, let's say, our conversation, this could be a typical your conversation in your talk show?
Yeah, pretty much.
How often do you air?
I do two programs a week, one in the L.A., San Diego Basin, and the other one in Texas and that area.
So in L.A., when and how to listen to your radio?
KRLA, except for this weekend. The Dodger game is on.
It's K, spell it.
KRLA, 590 a.m.
590 a.m. What time and when?
11 o'clock Saturday morning.
11 a.m. every Saturday?
Yeah. In fact, if you have a computer and can get on the web.
I saw your website. It's right in front of me. I just kind of.
www.kprz.com at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. You can get me.
I can see, yes. On your page was your radio talk show. It's 590 KRL, yes.
See, we exist.
So in Los Angeles. And how long are you in the radio?
About 20 years.
About 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay, that's created a lot of patients to your clinic?
I'd say 20 or 30%.
How many patients?
Most patients come word of mouth.
How many patients you clean? How many new patients, let's say, a week or a day, a week you have? Just got an idea of...
We probably have somewhere between 60 and 100 new a month.
Every month?
Uh-huh.
And how, let's say, my logical question is, how do people become a patient? They call and schedule an appointment?
Yeah, they call and schedule an appointment. You know, our goal is real simple. My goal is not to keep a patient. My goal is to get them well and move them on.
Okay, and
that's why I have patients who call me like, you know, 5-6 years later saying, well, I just got in a car accident, Doc, can you help me out of your trouble? Or I just got sick, can you fix me again? You know, that kind of thing.
And in your clinic, talking about the patients, is any insurance acceptable?
What we do is we give a super bill,
mm-hmm.
and they turn it into their insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas where I think integrity... you know, Chuck Colson made a statement. He said, "Capitalism without integrity is, without God, is immoral."
Mm-hmm.
And I believe insurance companies and our law profession, between the two of them, have figured out how to. If you took the bureaucracy of our government, the insurance company, and the legal profession, and took them out of the cost to do business, you probably have the ability for $100 to insure a whole family.
Mm.
But we're paying for legal fees for all these
attorneys, the system,
and we're paying for huge insurance companies that people pay their whole life for insurance, and then when they need it, the insurance company says, "I'm sorry, that's an unproven remedy. There's this that won't work. We won't allow that. We disapprove it."
Let's say some of our readers who would like to go to you and they don't have insurance, or how much is that? If you can. Can talk about it.
Well, we charge the same price. You can call Robbie. I don't even know what our prices are. But
okay.
Our prices haven't changed for 10 years
mm-hmm.
on a whole. I know my hourly rate is $153 an hour.
Wow.
And I have 30 people that are employed out of that. So you figure how much I'm taking home.
Yeah. So since you mentioned that, tell me a few words about your colleagues. I kind of a look through profile of all of them, but just in general, what could you say about your team? Because it's very outstanding. You have people who are...
About people?
Yeah, about your colleague, your doctors. I've been reading their profiles. They're outstanding.
We have some of the top in the world. We have... Our structural guy is one of the few guys I know who can fix whiplash in one or two visits, and TMJ and the bites and all that kind of stuff. Very, very bright guy. We have...
Did you talk right now?
Our structural guy.
Mm-hmm.
See, we do, for example, we do structure different than anybody else. We get the head not only balanced side to side, we get it forward-backward balanced, and then have the bite adjusted by the dentist next door to make it so it all integrates so they don't put their teeth together and throw their neck out.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, any chiropractor who's adjusting the head and isn't touching the bite is just guaranteeing that as they go to sleep and put their teeth together at night, they're going to throw their neck out and come back and be a patient again.
You're talking about Dr. Adam Fogelman, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so.
So he's doing that.
And let me ask you, talking about chiropractors, because it's all different schools. Let's say if somebody will come with a typical back pain, which a lot of people hear, what are the different principles he's using then?
Well, first of all, the back is not normally the problem. So what we'll do is check both ends. It's the head and the low, the sacrum, cranial sacrum. So you check from the head, neck, bite, all the way down, and the back is normally referred pain from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you fix those somewhere else's,
mm-hmm.
and the back pain normally goes away.
Excellent.
Now, if the pain is still there, then we got to check organ systems. We'll check, you know, kidneys, low kidney. Kidneys can cause low back pain. Gallbladder can cause mid back pain. There's a whole bunch of different systems that can cause different pain. So you have to deal with each of those separately. Now, that's the way we approach everything. The only reason I start with structure is because if somebody's structure's out, it's like they don't have any nervous response to be able to run the organs to make their body work. So I got to get structure right in the first place. And then I got to do a cleanse where I clean everybody out. Now, I don't do that to fix them, but it oftentimes does, and that's it.
But when you put the body in balance, the problem's gone.
Well, I would say probably 60% of the people on their first visit have such major changes that if you have a headache, for example, you have to have two things. You have to have a structural misalignment and a trigger. We take care of the structure, and then I got to go in and get the trigger. The trigger could be microorganisms, could be allergens, could be toxins, could be blood sugar swings or stress. Outside of structural things. Those are the things that could be triggers that would cause the head, neck, spine to tighten up a system called the meningeal system, best known for spinal meningitis. Now, where you take something that's so valuable is once you get all this straightened out, then when I put nutrients in, they're going to be able to digest them. What we do with risotriene that is unlike anything else is we drop that into people who can't digest anything. And it's already pre-digested, so their body will absorb it. And when it absorbs the nutrients, things start working that were never working before.
I hear about your E7. It's like a next step product.
What E7 is we had five products that were all outstanding. One of them was the risotriene that we just talked about, the life solubles. Next one was the Kona Gold, where we got our minerals and trace minerals from 2,000 feet below the Kona Coast. And these minerals are so bioavailable that not only under studies, pig studies and things like that at UC San Diego were they very effective, but these are the ones they use in the triathlon, the Ironman things. And people get better times and better recovery times because it requires no digestion to take these in. They'll absorb naturally. Because they're in an ionic state. Now, if that's good, then when I give it to people who have chronic illness, all of a sudden they can absorb it. So you get my people with multiple chemical sensitivity and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and degenerative diseases and all these things that keep you what we call sympathetic dominant, which means you're in fight or flight mode instead of repair, digest, restore, which is parasympathetic. Now, these people haven't been able to absorb the nutrients, and they can't sleep, and they have anxiety, and they have achiness, and everything hurts. All of a sudden, you give these minerals, and they calm down, and things start working again. So those are where we get our minerals and trace minerals from. So now we've got the best vitamin and antioxidants coming from the Rice brand, which I'm sure you've heard about that.
I'm taking them.
Okay. Then if you add to that the minerals and trace minerals from 2,000 feet below the sea, and that means we don't get all the heavy metals, the lead and the mercury and those things down there, whereas people taken from surface minerals and even the coral calcium, all that stuff, we find a lot of heavy metals in this stuff.
So let me ask you a question. In today's days, it's billions of a company who are producing all this natural stuff and things, and everybody beating them in the chest saying that only our company doing these natural things, we're getting it from there and there and there and there. What's your attitude?
Well, you know, my feeling is if you're going to take minerals from the surface, mm-hmm. you're going to get the pollutants that are in the surface right now. And our mercury levels, our lead levels, and all those are extremely high. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in surface water or whether it's in surface land minerals, you're going to have a problem getting it. So
what about algae?
Algae, if I go pull algae from the Great Klamath Lake,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna, that's, you're just taking swamp water. I mean, you're going to get all the bacteria, all the stuff. That they, in fact, that's why the FDA got all over these people for selling algae out there, because people were getting sick. Now, if you're going to do an algae, you have to say, I'm going to raise it in a sterile type environment. I'm going to take care of it a certain way, and I got to break down the outer core of it using natural type methods. So I just said, why not just go and take vegetables, the best of the vegetables we have here in land-based, and put that together, where I can get things like lycopenes from tomatoes and things like that that you can't get from the sea. So we took our NutriJuice, which is the highest of the juice plus category, the people who have juice caps, and use that for our vegetables.
Mm.
And that's a very concentrated mixture, so we put that in. Then we put in the medical whey type protein, where normally whey can run up to 50,000 deltons, which is size-wise, and you have to digest it down to 1,000 deltons to be able to digest it. And we just pre-digest it down to 750 deltons, which means you don't have to digest at all, and you're going to get the benefit of this.
Yeah. Bill, let me ask you, where do you think your clinic is going to be in 5 or 10 years?
Don't know. That's in God's hand.
My
job is to be available and obedient, uh-huh. That's all.
Yeah, but in time, do you see that the concepts and of your clinic and certain things are changing and you're progressing, you know, getting better and better?
Oh, every year, I think we're a different clinic than we were the year before. Not because our direction is different,
mm-hmm.
but because the tools are better. The
okay.
tools to discover what's wrong. What's happening is the more we're around, the more people are now understanding that, for example, years ago, somebody would say you had mercury toxicity. Two people would argue over it. The dentist would say, well, it can't possibly be, mercury doesn't come out of solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis would say, well, you know, there's no proof anywhere that that comes out of solution, and once you put an amalgam together and put it in the mouth, it stays there and the mercury doesn't outgas. And so the two of them could argue until they're blue in the face. Nobody could prove it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have this neat little meter called the Jerome meter. It costs about $6,000. You put it in the mouth, it sucks the vapor above the tooth, and then you read the levels of mercury in it. In other words, we're no longer discussing it with people. We're saying, and here is your level, sir.
Matter of fact, this is Eric. I just went through that test 2 weeks ago and had high levels of mercury from the vapor test. You know, something I never knew, but I've had problems, and that was identified in, 5 minutes with that apparatus.
And if you sit there now and you say, we've now done studies, 1,320 people were studied who had heavy metal toxicity, and of the people who had their mercury removed, not only from their teeth, but then chelated out of their body, 73% of them stopped having mood swings and anger. 72.3% of them stopped having depression. Well, did that take care of most of your psychology?
Where do you get these figures, Bill?
I've got the whole test in my office. Dr. Hal Huggins ran the test. But we now can identify symptoms that we used to treat with, you know, Prozac and Wellbutrin and Elavil and all these kind of things, if not Xanax and Valium and all that kind of stuff. Now we go, hey, let's just get the mercury out. Because the second you start taking all those drugs, you're going to cause deficiencies in other areas.
Let me ask you, if let's say our conversation would be right now in the air, and let's say about maybe 100 average different specialist, MD, will hear that. What do you think the reaction is going to be?
He's going to be abhorred that somebody would say something against what he's doing.
You see, some of them will be panicked.
I think they got one or two choices. One, they listen and try to learn. Very few will do that. Most of them will try to justify what they are. And, in fact, I'll take it a step further. If I tell you that mercury fillings are causing a lot of the diseases in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and you're a dentist who's placing mercury,
you're criminal.
What do you think you're going to do? You're going to sit there and say, if he's right, I'm wrong. How many people do you know want to admit they're wrong, much less be wrong?
And they're still putting this mercury fillings, yes?
Because more people would rather be right than true. And that's where we've left God. You see, in Scripture it says, may God be true. May all men be a liar, but God be true. In other words, it doesn't matter if everybody says it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Mercury is more toxic than arsenic and cyanide, and we put it in people all the time. The largest organization to put them in people is the United States Service. So how are you going to get that changed overnight? There are other countries like Sweden that have them illegal and are taking them out of people because it's cheaper to take them out than to pay the medical bills, because their incentive plan is how do I make people healthy for the least cost. Germany is illegal now. You think they don't have scientists? And it's not just mercury. We have nickel in crowns, cast bridges, and root canals. Root canals themselves are a flawed design that causes a lot of disease. You have no idea how many times we have to go in and take, you know, the teeth out where they put root canals. One-third of the women are allergic to nickel, and yet we still continue to put crowns, caps, bridges, and root canals in that have nickel. And then we're surprised. They start getting mucus. Their sinuses start running. They have urinary tract problems. They have endometriosis. They have pain and aching throughout the body, all because we put in exactly what the people are allergic to.
Well, you see, it's part of kind of conversation I would like to keep kind of outside of the record. I recently was introduced to Hank, and he said that kind of a good friend of his still in the prison, and some people was deeply kind of suffer because of what they've been standing for, the truth, this universal truth.
Right.
What do you think, what's your predictions? How long will it take until this slowly, hopefully, and it will change?
Well, you know, it will only change if we change the motive of the system. Because what's happened right now is everybody's out for themselves and they're all out for short-term gain. And that can do nothing but cause disaster. The free enterprise system will only stand so much as people believe in the integrity of the people they're dealing with. You will never put your money out or yourself at risk for something you don't believe in. So we have to put integrity back in. My belief is it starts with me and what I do. And so if I do everything I can to make our products the best, and I don't mean just the best of a bad idea. I don't mean the best synthetic vitamins. I mean go all over the world and constantly try to find ways to make it better. If the bacteria strain we're using, the lactobacillus, isn't doing as effectively as I'd like it to be, I look around for another one to make it more effective. If for some reason we get a bad batch of minerals, I start going, what the heck is going on here? And I research it and find out, and if it doesn't live up to where it's supposed to be, we send it back to the vendor and say, hey.
Do you think that your clinic and your system, which you created, can be duplicated?
Sure it can. It just has to have people whose desire is to help people, and oh, by the way, you make a living. See, there's nothing wrong with doing well by doing good. You see, I think most people think the way you get ahead is by other people losing. If we're in a world of deficiency and there's only one thing there and you and I have to fight over it, then the more I get, the less you get, the more I get. But if we're in a world of abundance, which I believe God made a world of abundance, then I can we can all win together. We just have to go after doing the things that make a difference.
Yeah, the problem is it's not too many people know that and believe in that.
Well, so you got to then our job is to educate and model. I think servanthood leadership is by example.
You're absolutely right. The problem began in our whole system, Bill, that people are educating in our system that we're living in a world of deficiency, starting that you need a good job not to suffer all your life and because it's not enough for everybody.
Well, but you see, that's why, see, originally capitalism started by jealousy. Jealousy says, I want what you have. So any good capitalist will say, well, if you want what I have and I can help you get it, and then you'll help me get more. That's how that was original capitalism. We're not there anymore. We've now gone to a world of deficiency where we're not a jealous country, like all countries are jealous. We've gone to being an envious country, which says, not only do I want what you have, but now I don't want you to have it. And the reason I don't want you to have it is because I don't believe I can ever have it, therefore I don't want you to have it because I don't want you to be better than me.
Yes, and says in a good book they said that in our society and mentality we rather kill somebody, a good teacher like a Jesus Christ or somebody, than adjust our mentality.
Well, if you really get down to the major breakthroughs in medicine over the last 200 years,
yep.
Do you know what they are?
Go ahead. Did you ask, do I know who?
Do you know what the major breakthroughs are, the ones that have really made a difference?
Go ahead.
Washing your hands between operations. Okay? Now, the guy who did that was drummed out of the Bugle Corps, man. He was kicked out of the hospital. Okay? Because he would dare to say to the doctors that they could possibly be causing problems by not washing between going from an acute hepatitis patient to delivering a baby. Okay, that's one. You know what the other breakthrough is?
What would be that?
Refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the entire history of health, those are the two breakthroughs. And it's not about the miracle drugs and all that kind of stuff. The miracle drugs are only a miracle on a battlefield. They've been a disaster in general practice.
Just simple refrigerating.
Simple refrigeration. Washing hands and refrigerating. See, you know, God says, God uses these simple things to confound the wise. You just heard the simple things of God.
Yep.
That's not, we make things so complex. Man segregates so he can control things. God integrates. For otherwise, why is the hand more valuable than the eye, more valuable than the foot? No, for they all integrate together. They all work as a team, but we don't do that. We want to become a urinary tract specialist as though the rest of the body has nothing to do with the urine. Well, where the heck do you think the urine comes from? And that's the mistake we make. We need to reintegrate the body, and that's why I call it integrative medicine. Because it's reintegrating that what you put in your mouth will affect your teeth. But it'll also affect your urinary tract, your digestive tract, and every cell in your body. And if it's toxins like nickel and mercury, it'll make them sick. If it's nutrients like Life Solubles and Kona Gold and the whey protein that we use, the medical whey, and the fibers to slow up the sugar and speed up the detoxification, and the vegetables and things like selenium and broccoli that protect you from estrogen-caused cancers like prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, and breast cancer, well, then we're going to make a difference. So people kill themselves a day at a time by what goes in their mouth. We kill ourselves with our mouth.
Yes, I'll just may add to that, we're killing sometimes ourselves what we put in our head as well.
That's right. And that's why they're walking around with brain fog. And when you say how many people are willing to take responsibility, I don't think many of them are until we clean them up. Once they've gone through a cleanse and seen the power, once people get the belief that what they put in their mouth truly does make a difference, then all of a sudden they go, well, if it makes this much of a difference in 8 days, then let's do whatever else it takes so this is the way I feel from here on out.
Yep,
and once they get their hope back, you can free them from that drunken stupor we call the American diet that is destroying people, and it's making it so they have brain fog, can't think clearly, have depression, fatigue, mood swings, and their mind is not right. And so the first thing I want to free, yeah, it's great that somebody loses 30 pounds in a week, but that's not what it's for. It's so they get rid of the poison so their mind can get right, so they can get back to understanding that they have been the frog that is getting cooked.
Well, you see, whatever we've been talking right now, it's a little bit almost over the hours. I think it's a very valuable system of knowledge which had to be emphasized in the early stages. I personally feel that the conversation like that is supposed to be stressed out in the elementary school so that the kids...
Absolutely. Now, so you know, I actually wrote some books that took it down to normal level.
Yes, but you see, what I'd like to challenge you, kind of, is my gut feeling, that to make a difference, which you are making a difference, a huge difference, just bring it to the stage when the kids can absorb it, because...
I've got it.
Yeah?
Have you read my books?
No, I didn't get the chance, because you just appeared in my life a few days ago.
Well, I will tell you this. Get a copy of my Toxic Twins.
Mm-hmm.
It's all question and answers, pictures, stories, analogies,
mm-hmm.
and it's done at a simple level. You and I are talking at a fairly esoteric level, and I'm doing that because that's the level that you're able to think at.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't take it to this level in daily conversation.
I understand.
But you ask the questions, I'm going to give you answers. You're the one who wants to go here. And my goal is to take you further in the direction you want to go, not just give you a story, but help you, you know, maybe see ways that we can, as a team, make a difference.
Well, listen, telling about you, you see, my mission in this world is to help people to be the best of who they are. And I'm personally, my goal is to build a comprehensive center which will give people solution for their lifestyle.
Well, do you know the name of our center?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. The name of the actual health centers is Comprehensive Health Centers.
Yes. You see, many years with Tony Robbins, and we've studied a lot of different science of mind and on and on. And when one day, it was years ago, after one of the seminars, I just got this insight. I said, listen, after seminar, when we got all this proper knowledge and what to do and blah, 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 we're coming home and we're ready to change ourselves and whole world. In time, it's drag our back. So what we need, instead of building seminar, we need to build the centers where people will learn how to live and live like that every day.
All right, look, I don't disagree, but you want to know what's happening now is we've taught people that a calorie is a calorie is a calorie, which essentially says if you take a calorie... If you take a bushel of brown rice, it's the same as drinking a bottle of sake. That's absolute craziness. And I have doctors on radio saying there is nothing, the only way to lose weight is to lower your calories and raise your exercise. Okay, what type of calorie? The kind that's in brown rice? You can eat as much of that as you can handle. Or the kind that's in sake, which is all calorie, no nutrient. See, the brown rice can handle it. You won't overeat brown rice because if you've got everything in there, you're going to be full and satisfied at the same time. But the sake will never satisfy you. It's all calories.
See, the difference is between this doctor and you that you get to the way you are by your goal, by your own demand to heal yourself and find the answer. As a regular doctor, physician, a lot of times he's looking for a position of a doctor just to be set up in society.
Well, of course.
To go to earn a good income, and this is a role of a game. He's getting this, he's spending about $100,000 and 15 years of his life now. When he got in, the system already set up, the system of drugs, the system of patients, on and on, and it's not too much difference he can make. You need to play a game.
Sure, it's easier to do. So essentially, most doctors get into it for a combination of prestige,
yep,
to help people, and to make money.
Yep.
Now, once they get in very long, they first realize we aren't going to help people, so we might as well make them feel good. We aren't going to make money because the HMOs have taken over.
Yep.
And so I might as well at least hold on to the prestige and let people think I'm a doctor making a lot of money being successful.
Bill, I would tell you that you have one more person who is, you consider kind of a team player. I'll be delighted. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking I would like to as soon as possible, to bring my father to you. He's 94, kind of suffering from a number of his stuff.
Well, at 94, lots of things started happening.
Yeah, but
he's at 94.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I would like to meet you in person because, you see, my mission is very much as yours, and I do compliment you right now for whatever I hear, that you was blessed to walk so far in your life and find so many good things. You're really blessed.
Well, I hope that helps you, and Eric can help you get those two books so you can see what
I will get the books, and I would like to kind of call and come at the early convenience with my father, who is suffering right now from pain, and meet you in person.
I look forward to that. If you want to get those books between here and the time you and I talk,
yes,
here's the number, toll-free, 888.
Okay, just a second. Okay.
244.
244.
4420.
20.
And you can get, ask her. She also has tapes on seminars we've done.
Mm-hmm.
I have one called Get Healthy, Lose Your Multivitamin.
Mm-hmm. Where does this number lead me to? Where are you going to call?
It's here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Sun City. It's our.
So they're selling your books, yes?
Well, that's our publishing company for our books. They have our tapes,
mm-hmm,
and they can, you know, get you information on the clinic, whatever you need. It's one number that takes care of pretty much anything you want to know.
Excellent. And if I will call, let's say, to the clinic, and I'd like to come with my father and
call that number.
The very same number.
Same number.
Okay, and I should say that I would like to schedule a meeting with you. Yes, I mean an appointment.
Right.
I'll be delighted. I'll be delighted. And I really appreciate the time which we spend. And as I said to you, I have a deep respect for what you came in your life so far. And I do believe that people lucky that your disease one day brought you to the condition you was.
Well, I think that's God's way of speaking to those of us who are hard of listening.
You see, I one day spoke with a patient who used to have a cancer and got about more than 20 operations, and she said to me, I'm so blessed right now with my attitude to know that I have this cancer, because if not this cancer, I wouldn't be who I am today.
That's right, and that's how I feel. I used to think it was my worst enemy, and now I realize it's been my best friend. So,
Bob, I'd like to bless you. I'd like to thank you for the interview. It's definitely much more than I could just express in one article, but I believe what's happened, I really do have a willing to meet you, and I would like to hopefully take courage to bring further the things which you're doing. I'll be delighted if a center like you have will be over here.
Well, I look forward to it.
And that's why I left medicine, and I said I don't like to be any longer in the business. And our magazine is the first step to build the center.
Well, it's got a place. It's just not the place I want to be.
You mean Los Angeles?
Well, no, the classic medical model.
Oh yeah.
If you're in a car accident on a highway, they still have a good idea.
Oh yeah. Listen, the whole idea is balanced.
Bill, nice talking to you.
Bill,
nice
thanks.
Talking to you, and God bless you. I'm looking forward to meet you.
God bless you too. Thanks.
Bill, thanks so much for all your time again.
My pleasure.
You're the best.
Bye.
Bye bye.